Get my microphone. Sorry, fellas, that was me. Good evening. Welcome to Bible study. Good to see you on this Wednesday. And when I say see you, I have a few faces down front here and seeing you by faith tonight. And I hope and pray that you're finishing up your chores, your dinner, and have some opportunity to gather around your device and settle your heart and your mind for Bible study. I was appreciating the prelude music. It's Wednesday night when you just are reminded that our life is in you, Lord. What a great opening and prelude to set our heart and mind for Bible study. I thought we'd begin our study by remembering the day we got saved and the great changes that God has done in us and in our lives and around us. And a hymn writer wrote a hymn, "Since I Have Been Redeemed." And I thought out of the transition from the busyness of all that you're involved in to the stillness of a Bible study, we would be reminded of our great salvation and that transformation that God has done in us in all of life since we have been redeemed. Stand wherever you are in the world watching. If you're driving, which some of you do, don't stand. Stay seated. But let's lift our voice and sing, "Since I've Been Redeemed."
I have a song I love to sing, since I have been redeemed. Of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a prize that satisfies, since I have been redeemed. To do His will, my highest prize, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a witness bright and clear, since I have been redeemed. Dispelling every doubt and fear, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a home prepared for me, since I have been redeemed. Where I shall live eternally, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name.
Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for never wavering on us, Lord. Lord, you just continue to just guide us and protect us through the struggles of life. Life is like a roller coaster, some ups, some down, but you continue to stay the same. Lord, so I pray you be with us tonight as we join as a body, just to hear the preaching of your word and the reading of your word. I pray that we get something from the message tonight and apply it to our Christian walk and our Christian lives. Be with us now and bless our service. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. And a couple of announcements here and some updates. Praise the Lord, I feel like I have some announcements tonight. And with all of the lockdown, it seemed like so many of our announcements were going by the wayside. But now as we begin to open up, and there's some things that we get to share and we are excited about. And I am excited to announce that we are beginning our phase one open up this coming Sunday. And very fitting for it to be Memorial Day weekend. But as you can see on your screen, maybe, welcome back Sunday. And we are looking so forward to seeing our church family. And so I just want to say a couple of things about this coming Sunday and our way moving forward so you can be prepared for that. Because of capacity issues, we feel like we will be best to do two services this coming Sunday. And we are going to go back to an 8:30 first service and a 10:30 second service. There will be no Sunday school and there will be no evening service in these phases. Both of these services will be just like they used to be as far as the same service. We will only show the 10:30 service online. That will be the live stream. So, of course, there'll be an in-person at 10:30. It'll just be easier for us to have the deaf ministry and the live stream at the 10:30 service. So make sure that you make note of that. And, of course, we have folks that are watching not just in our community, but in our state and around the country and even outside of the United States. And so we want to stay at that in our broadcast at 10:30. We will appropriate social distancing measures. As you come into the building, you'll see that things will be look a little bit different in our procedure, in our practice. There'll be pews that will be roped off as we alternate the pews for the 6-foot seating. We will ask that families sit together. And Pastor, I don't like my family. I'm not coming to church. Okay, I understand. Deal with that before you get here. But we'll ask that families kind of sit together in the pew there, and that will help us with our distancing. And we put out a list of practices, and I'll just briefly touch on them. We'll maintain the 6 feet social distancing. We will not do any handshaking, hugging, or any other personal contact. I'd ask you to refrain from that. Pastor, I don't mind shaking hands. Neither do I. But somebody else might mind. And Pastor, I don't mind giving a hug or being hugged. I understand that. But somebody else might mind. So we'll be patient and just let everybody kind of adjust themselves right now. We have the hand sanitizer here that you can use. Speaking of hand sanitizer, if you're out, church family, and you see some, and maybe buy an extra one for the church. I have a feeling we're going to be using a lot of hand sanitizer, and that stuff's not easy to find. So if you find some and you buy some, pick up an extra one if you would for the church. That would be great. People are asking me about face mask. They will not be required, but it is acceptable if you want to. And if you're comfortable wearing a mask, that will be fine. If you're comfortable not wearing one, that will be fine as well. And it's up to you. And we will have our thermometers there. I think those will be more in a different setting as far as when we open up our children's ministries. We won't have any nursery. There will be no children's ministries in our services here. We will have the online children's ministries as normal, as the new normal is now. We'll have the fellowship hall open up. And for families that need distancing with children, then we'll have the services pumped into there, and you can go in there as well. But as far as a nursery that's organized by church staff or children's ministries, we will not do that. Of course, I told you the seating will be adjusted to maintain the social distancing. We won't do any church bulletins or handouts. We'll forego those in this session here as well. When it comes time to take the offering, only the ushers will hold the plate. Many of you are giving online, and if you want to continue to give online, that's fine. Does it matter for the church? Not necessarily, whether you do in person or whether you do online. Whatever's easiest for you, and you can consider that. Of course, there'll be no evening service on Sunday night, and then Wednesday night will be the same procedure, and it'll be open. And so a week from tonight, then the church will be open for Wednesday night Bible study. And these are our practices going forward there. And then hopefully as the phases change within our communities, then the phases will change as we go forward. Pastor, will we ever get back to normal? I believe we may never get back to total normal, but we're going to get back to shaking hands. We'll get back to hugging one another. We'll get back to the warmth there. It's just going to take some time. Of course, if you're elderly, I don't know what to say about that. I don't know what number to put on there. I was going to say if you think you're old, but nobody thinks they're old. So look up the CDC and see what number they say is old, and we'll go with that number. That seems to be the way to do it. You need to be careful. If you're sick, do not show up. I mean, whatever it is, don't show up. I'm anxious for the first sneeze on Sunday morning. I feel like that will clear out a section very quickly, and we'll see how this all comes together. But if you're a high risk, I think you need to use some wisdom right now and just kind of be patient about that. If you're uncomfortable in your mind or your spirit, okay, stay and watch online, no problem. I do believe, though, that the assembling the Bible talks about should not solely be on the computer. There should be the assembling of ourselves together. And so I'm asking God to strengthen us and to give us vision and enable us to come back. Coronavirus is not an opportunity for you not to come to church anymore. You should get back to church and worshiping the Lord and trusting the Lord there. I know that looks different for many others or it looks different for everybody. But the end goal will be that I know you're comfortable. I know I look good on that high def. I've seen myself. The camera makes me look better than I really am. But don't get too comfortable there with your bag of chips and your popcorn. Come back to church. We miss you and we love you. Outside of that, some announcements to let you know. We've went ahead and made a decision to cancel Vacation Bible School. It's just too difficult to do. I think the perception is too difficult, and we'll postpone that until next year. As phases open up, we will probably open up some children's things maybe late summer for opportunities to get a hold of that. Still no word on the camp. If camp has not made a decision by next Sunday, the 31st, then we will make our decision, and that announcement will come a week from this Sunday. So right now, I would say camp is on. Parents, you probably could help us. Brother Simeon's going to be reaching out. Every parent is different. Some parents are saying, no way, Pastor, I'm not going to do it. Others are saying, it can't get here fast enough. Can we send them for the whole summer? What can we do to get them out of our house? That's up to you. But probably communicate. If you just know right now you're uncomfortable sending your kid to camp and you're not going to do it and you've already registered or you're on the list, call Brother Simeon and let him know, because we're trying to figure out what we're going to do as well. And it's cost prohibitive for sure to send just a handful of kids. That bus alone is $7,500. So we want to make sure that we're good stewards of the Lord's money. So he'll be reaching out and get some information to him. June 7th in the evening, we will do our Christian school graduation, K-5 and senior. We're looking forward to that. And I'll probably ask the church family to stay home and just let the graduates, both kindergarten and 12th grade, and their families invite their neighbors, their friends, their loved ones, their grandmas, and so on. With the distancing, I think we'll be okay in the building. But I think it'll be too limited if we invite everybody that night. It will be live streamed June 7th at 6 o'clock. And so please note that and put that on your calendar. Some prayer requests before we have our last song that I know of that have been called in. Juan Vilches, we prayed for Brother Juan. Brother Juan had a complication from a medical procedure, and he's in the hospital. It is a dire complication. And they are making a decision as he's battling cancer. And a procedure they did affected the cancerous tumor in a negative way. And so pray for Brother Juan Vilches tonight, if you would please. Our dear sister Judy Dulligite had a medical test, and she's awaiting her response back. Please pray for Judy. It was a serious test. Iva Bartholomew is still awaiting tests to find out why she's having some dizzy spells and some difficulties there. She's requesting prayer. Gail Trotman, I'm sure Gail's watching tonight. Her grandson is in the United States Navy. He's tested positive for coronavirus, tested negative. Now he's tested positive again. And so he's struggling in that, and she's requesting prayer for her grandson, if you would please. We want to pray for the folks in Michigan. I don't know if you've watched the news or not, but they've had a couple of dams break by a lake up there near Midland, Michigan. Beverly has family up there. I have family and friends in that area as well. And so we definitely want to pray for the folks of Michigan as they're dealing with this catastrophe on top of coronavirus. My mother-in-law has requested prayer for a church that she goes to up in Michigan, Northern Michigan Bible Baptist Church, as just they need some prayer of encouragement tonight. And so pray for them. And then also, we've had some folks that have lost some loved ones. And I was informed today that our dear sister, Rosalind Tortella, you might not know Rosalind, one of the widows in our church, her son, Mark, passed away, 59 years of age, and he passed with cancer. He was a family pastor at a church, not here in South Florida, had cancer. God gave him 15-year reprieve, and the cancer came back in just a matter of weeks. He went to be with the Lord. And so Rosalind understands where her son is and just pray God's comfort upon her. Of course, we're praying for the Molina family. Many have asked about Yolanda. She's went to be with the Lord in the services. I understand. I talked with Brother Irwin just before church tonight. In the situation they are, they're going to do a private family service. And I can understand that and appreciate that. Pray for them if you would, please. And then continue to pray for Audrey Snyder as her mom passed away over the weekend as well. And so folks are dealing with a lot of things. These are our Wednesday night prayer requests, and we want to remember them accordingly. All right. I have been preaching to you pretty solid since I got back from Israel in February. And to be honest with you, I kind of want to be preached to just a minute. And somebody other than Beverly, I wanted to preach to me. And so I asked Pastor Reuben if he'd preach tonight. We'd finished 2 Thessalonians last week. I believe next week, Lord willing, I'll pick up with a series on the book of Esther. And that will be our new Wednesday night series. And I'm excited about the book of Esther. But I need somebody just to preach to me and to listen to God's word. And so I'm excited for Pastor Reuben. He's going to do our Bible study tonight. And he asked if we could do He Lives as a hymn in preparation for the preaching of the word of God to our hearts. And I thought, what a marvelous and wonderful hymn. I love the way it starts. I serve a risen Savior, and He is in the world today. What a hope. What a blessing. Stand again if you would. Lift your voice. Sing. Let it prepare our hearts. And Pastor Reuben will preach us our Wednesday night Bible study. God bless you.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him is always here. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all this stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice. choice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs through Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. The Father is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. You may be seated. Wherever you may be, it is nice to be in the auditorium and seeing some faces. Now I totally understand what Pastor refers to. Usually when I'm in here, the place is empty, so this is kind of, you know, welcoming now that there's a couple of eyeballs out here. But I definitely praise the Lord for the privilege and the opportunity that it is to stand with you and open God's Word together for tonight. I can't thank Pastor enough for this opportunity and certainly for his leadership in the last 15 years that he's been here at our church. It's incredible how time certainly flies, at least for us. It seems like yesterday when they first got here and Tommy was 4 or 5 or something like that. And I used to be able to push him around and now he pushes me around. And so I lose that battle. But definitely I can't thank our pastor enough for his leadership, especially in the last 2 months. And it's been incredible to see how the Lord has orchestrated not only the Wednesday night Bible studies, but the Sunday morning in the book of John. And it's incredible to see how it's becoming such a reality in our lives in such a practical way. I definitely have been around, but I have been hiding upstairs. That saying is certainly applicable, that teamwork makes the dream work when it comes to what's been going on at church, that the team coming together, making this possible from the changes that we've had to implement. Brother Randy has been doing junior church online. And then Randy Newton and Devin. And then I can't thank Brother Button enough on Wednesdays and Brother Dustin on Sunday mornings helping upstairs and making things possible. Brother Ray, Brother Turner in the back behind the scenes. I think Miss Joni Knight as well as Miss Candy from home kind of replying to all the connections that we're making online. But certainly, I don't know about you, but I miss being together at church. And the reality of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, it is becoming very real in our current situation. I know that the last 2 months has been an adjustment for everyone. And at least for me, the need for fellowship, the need for our family, our church family, it has become very personal. And so I can't wait to see everybody. I am a hugger. So if you tell me that you're a hugger, go right ahead. Let me know and I'll give you a hug, whether that's tonight or on Sunday. Just let me know I'm game for that. Today really was supposed to be our last official day of school. And our seniors were scheduled to have graduated 3 days ago on Sunday. And there's one of them here. But obviously we've had to move things around. And I know that some of our college graduates were supposed to walk across the stage and they didn't get to do that. And their colleges made adjustments and they're making the best that they can with what's been dealt with. But it is incredible to consider how much our plans have changed. And I know I'm a planner. I try not to go too far out in the future. But the reality is, 2 months ago, everybody's plans kind of went out the window. We would not have imagined having a Wednesday night service with as few people as we have in the building. But yet, here we are. And yet, in the midst of all of those changes, as I visit with people, as I talk, One of the recurring themes that come up over and over and over again is the thought of the anxiety of the what if. When are we going to do this? When are we going to do that? And just to be transparent with you, when there's so much changing going on, you can either get discombobulated or you can anchor yourself. And I know personally for me, I had to run to the Word of God. And I truly did find an encouragement in it. And so 2 months ago when all this started, I kind of shifted my Bible reading plan. And I went to the book of Philippians. And for a solid 4 or 5 weeks, I read that book over and over and over again. And just the thought of Paul being in prison and again encouraging the Philippian church, a persecuted church, to be encouraged, to rejoice in the Lord, was a personal encouragement to me. After that, where do you go? And the Lord led me to the book of Acts. And just to see the birth of the local New Testament church, to see the addition of believers on an ongoing basis, and then to see the multiplication, but immediately seeing the persecution. And there was a lot of correlation. Depending on the part of the country, some churches are being scrutinized more than others. Obviously, we can't get together, and we cannot wait for the day that we can. But yet, there is this level of, well, what is going on? And so when Pastor asked me to just share a lesson, a message for tonight, I wanted to go in different directions, but the Lord really led me to Matthew 6. So if you can turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6, it is definitely the culmination of when you put together the call to the persecuted church in Philippians, the encouragement to the local New Testament church from the book of Acts, the series that Pastor has been preaching through the book of Thessalonians, and the reality of the church needing to speak up, the reality of the rapture, the reality of what's to come. There are words here in the book of Matthew that Jesus spoke at the beginning of his ministry, but yet they weren't as precious at that moment because everybody was living life. The Messiah was there. The disciples were learning about the Messiah. But yet, at the moment, I don't think they carried the weight that they would later on. And I know I personally have grown up with this passage. It's near and dear to my heart. But yet, in times like these, it is incredible that we can truly go to the anchor of the Word of God. And I know for me, an encouragement, especially as we watch the stock market kind of crumble, right? And you start worrying about finances or investments and whatnot. I'm so glad that we can count on Proverbs 10, verse 3, that says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. I mean, that is a promise that we have. That's not available only for me, but for every single believer. In the areas of just being overwhelmed with temptation of worrying and or any kind of challenges, I'm glad that his word in 1 Corinthians 10, 13 reminds me that God will not suffer us and allow something to come into our life above and beyond what we are able. And so we know that even though things are changing and they're not the same, and whenever we figure out what this new normal will be, we know that his word, thank the Lord, doesn't change. And his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the reality is that there is blessing in obedience. There is blessing in dwelling in his word because it does settle us. And it is irrational. It makes no sense, but yet there is the peace that passes all understanding that only God can give us. So that when things are kind of crazy around us, we can stand secured upon the word of God. And so when you consider and hear what has been shared by Christ here, and you put yourself in the mindset at the very beginning of his ministry that he's sharing. And so if you understand the passage, this really starts all the way in chapter 5 with the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes and the blessings, right, that Jesus shares. In chapter 6, he's teaching the disciples how to pray. And yet, he's coming to the culmination, the conclusion, if you may, of this passage. If you're taking notes, take note that Luke 12, verses 22 through 31, relate to the same passage that we're about to read. So if you can read with me, starting in verse 25, the Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Now, if you've been coming to our church long enough, you know that when Pastor says "therefore," it's always connected to whatever's before it. So if we do go to verse 24, the Bible tells us that Christ says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And it's interesting, if you look up that word mammon, it really does relate to an idol, obviously, that the Israelites used to worship, and it has to deal with riches. And certainly, when we think about our stock market, when we think about worries, there is a correlating attribute of what's being shared here with Christ in the verses to come. So, if we can read along again, starting in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Verse 28 says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Verse 31, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So tonight, I really want to encourage our church and challenge you with this thought of the biblical medication for anxiety. The biblical medication for anxiety. And really, the title, it comes from the perspective that in all of this change, the common answer for anxiety is to get medication. And so wherever that may be, and certainly for the believer, our medication is right here in the Word of God. And I know that sometimes that may not make rational sense, but yet, praise the Lord that because His Word never changes, it does make more sense than the alternative. And so just to give you a very quick answer on what is the biblical medication for anxiety, verse 33 is our key verse. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, for us, we as Americans are a rich and blessed nation. We truly are. The foundation of this country and its history, it's really an example for others to follow. However, in this text and in this context that Jesus is speaking, if we can go back to when he's sharing, the very moment that he is coming out and introducing himself to the Jewish nation, as we had learned years ago when Pastor went through the series in the book of Matthew, that he is preaching the kingdom of God to the Jews and they rejected it. But yet, at this moment, this promise was just a promise. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know that Jesus was going to end up at the cross, and that they were going to go through that suffering, or that they were going to be running for their life. But yet, Jesus is telling them, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. I will be with you. And so, at the very moment when Christ is sharing these words, I don't believe that it sunk in like it did years later, and they were thinking back, what was that promise that Christ gave? And so, for us, we might have come to this passage in so many times. We have songs about this, and actually we're going to finish the service with a song. But yet the reality is, it is in moments like the ones that we're living in that the sweetness of not being able to be with those that we spend our days with, it's hard. The number one complaint that our students are having of not being able to be at school is not that that they're not here to do their work. It's not that they're not here to do lunch. It's that they miss their friends more than anything. And one, I saw a student today and he said, I cannot wait to start school in the fall. He just started summer break, you know. And so we've never had that kind of a comment on the last day of May from a third, fourth grader. But that is the reality of fellowship, and we don't have that. And so since we don't have it, we want it. But yet Jesus, as he's concluding the Sermon on the Mount, he's challenging us of the reality of this anxiety, if you may. But yet the question for us today is, what are you anxious about as we are living under the current circumstances? And I have spoken with believers and unbelievers, and immediately I can tell the difference. And yet even among believers, there's a level of anxiety in regards to what to do and not to do. And we can watch the news, we can listen to our friends and our family, and everybody has an opinion, but yet it does elevate that anxiousness of what is to come, what is next. And so as we understand the necessity for this medication, let's just look at what it takes to get there. Point number one, I would say, is that first we need to recognize where anxiety starts. And if you look at the battle that begins, Jesus over and over and over in this text, he mentions the fact that it starts in our minds. And so in verse 25, he tells them, take no thought. Immediately, that's in our mind. Verse 27, he's saying, by taking thought, can anyone add cubit to his stature? No. Verse 28, Jesus continues to say, take ye thought for raiment. Why do you do that? Why bother? Verse 31, he says, therefore, take no thought. And verse 34, therefore, take no thought. So we have to understand that anxiety starts in our mind. Regardless of the circumstances around us, they start in our mind. Sometimes our thoughts can do and truly paralyze us from walking in obedience. That fear of God is calling us to do X, and yet because I don't know how to get from A to X, I'm not even going to get to B. But yet, that is the fact that we can trust his leading and his word, but we must walk in obedience. Point number two is the fact that we must recognize the Lord's rebuke. Right in verse 30, at the very end, he makes a statement, O ye of little faith. Now I do believe that this was not referring to the faith for eternal life and salvation, but this is referring to the faith to daily walk with him. And the fact that we are reminded by Paul in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If there's ever a student that graduates from our school ministry and I get to talk to him or her later on in life, one of the top three questions I always ask is, how are you doing in your Bible reading? I always ask them that question. And I found out later on that these two guys were having a bet on how long it was going to take for me to ask that question, right? And I'm glad. And, you know, if they know it's coming, they're either avoiding me or, you know, they're going to tell me the truth. And yet, that's the reality. We have the key to success. Amen. You know, we have it right here, the complete word of God. Let us not neglect it. But yet, the Bible tells us that faith is increased. Not any more faith for salvation, but for every day. Years ago, Pastor had that series, I Have Jesus for This. Well, we have Jesus for this. It's truly the fact that it is that faith that by us hiding God's word in our heart that we may resist sin and be able to put it away. Romans 14:23, the Bible also reminds us, Paul writes that, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if something is being done out of fear, out of anxiety, then the Bible calls it sin. Then in Hebrews 11:6, our family verse, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. I know I have shared this before, but when Pastor first started back in 2005, he would preach on Sunday nights. And somehow he started preaching on faith. And I had been a Christian for a while. I've been gone to Christian school, Christian college. But on a day-to-day basis, I knew that if I was going to die, I was going to go to heaven. No question. But on a day-to-day basis, if we sat down and we were transparent, I came to realize that I was not walking by faith on a day-to-day basis. And I don't know about you, but right now, the necessity to walk faith by faith, faith on a day-to-day basis is a must. Because we just don't know. I mean, if you're watching the stock market, one day is up, the other day is down. Does it make any reason or any sense? None whatsoever. If you're watching, talking to people that have been put on furlough or now they have been completely let go, they're back and forth. It's just unsustainable. If you're going out to look for whether it's meat or toilet paper or whatever, you just never know what you're going to find. You just need to be ready, right? And so this uncertainty, the fact is that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So whether things are going well or they're in a situation that we find ourselves, faith is a must, not just for salvation, but every day. Right before this text, Christ is teaching the disciples how to pray. And that's when He's telling the disciples, hey, pray for your daily bread. Now, as Americans, we don't have to worry about, for the most part, of our daily bread. I mean, Publix, Sam's, Walmart, whatever your store is, you can run. If you're short, there's always a way to borrow or find a coupon or do something to find that daily bread. But back then, it wasn't. And whether you find yourself that you've never had a need, but when that faith is needed, even for a daily bread, that's what really allows a Christian to grow. For it is impossible to please Him without that faith that is required. That's why faith on the part of each believer is crucial for our daily walk with the Lord. Without it, we just simply don't grow. And so, as Jesus is encouraging them and rebuking them, O ye of little faith, where do you fall in? Where do you fit in? Would He classify you of, O ye of little faith, or are you that faithful servant? So as we continue and looking at what is needed for this medication, number three, I would say that we need to recognize that God truly cares for you. God cares for you. And that is not something that we can take for granted. I know growing up personally, I was told God does not have time for you. But yet the more I read His word, Psalm 91 tells me that He knows my name. Amen. That the Bible tells me that He knows a hair on my head. Now, it used to be easy. I mean, harder back then, but now it's getting easier for God to account for my hair. But, you know, He knows the number of my head. He knows things before I even pray for them. We read about it in verse 32, where the Bible says, "For all, after all these things that the Gentiles seek for, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." He already knows. And yet He repeated it because in verse 8 of chapter 6, Christ said, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask." Now, He does expect us to ask. I'm not saying that we ought not to pray and ask for them, but He already knows. And yet, we get so paralyzed by trying to figure out, well, how is God going to fix this problem? Is it humbling to have to ask and beg for help and direction? I'm the first one to say yes. But yet our Heavenly Father, that's where He wants us. He wants to lead and guide us in that aspect. Lamentation reminds us that in chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because of His compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So when the Bible tells me that, hey, tomorrow is coming and His mercies are new, we cannot hold back to the past, but we must be able to move forward. Psalm 37:25, a verse that has really helped, been a guiding light for our family in the last 10 years. The Bible tells us that David says, I've been young and now I'm old and have yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. That's in the middle of a situation that we're in. That's not just in the good times. That's in any kind of time. But yet that's the promise of the believer. He will not allow anything into our lives that we are not able to handle. And so when we're concerned, well, what's going to happen? And this is what has led to this passage. Having conversations with believers that are wanting to know, well, what's going to happen here and what's going to happen there? And sometimes the answer is, I don't know. But this is what I do know, that my future is in his hands. Amen. That my future belongs to him. And that allows us to have a confidence that we don't have to be all discombobulated, but that we can walk by faith each and every day. So recognize the fact that he does care for you. Then fourthly, receive God's medication for anxiety. The Bible says in verse 33, our key verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, there's a receiving that must happen. Just like receiving must take place for salvation, this has to happen for the believer every day. It is frustrating to be with either family or friends or someone you're discipling that you know what needs to happen, but they're refusing to receive it. Now, if I were to ask my son, do you need help with your school bill for college? He would say, absolutely. But if I ask him, do you need help for something else? I got a 50-50 chance that he may just say no, right? But yet, the Lord wants to help us, even in not only in the big things, but in the little things as well. And that's the reality of the receiving. Understand that when he says seek first, that's literally the only commandment that we're getting here. The other one says, don't worry, don't think a thought about tomorrow, don't think about this. But here he's giving a direction to seek. It is a commandment that it's not when all else has been done that we are to seek. No, it's not if time permits. It's not if it's convenient. It's not if all else fails, then I'm going to go seek. No, he's saying seek first. It's a position of priority. It's a position of priority. And it's a position of importance that it's not rational. Because as an adult, the last thing I want to do is go ask for help. The first thing I do is, well, let me figure it out, right? And then, you know, if I got to go watch a YouTube video or finally read the instructions, then I will, right? But yet, the Lord is saying, seek first, not last, first. Which at that point, if you think about it, it gives no room for anxiety. It gives no room for the worry. It gives no room for the what ifs. The what if this and what if that. Well, we know what's going to happen. We win in the end. So we can understand that we need to seek him in prayer. We need to seek him by abiding in his word daily. For there is no substitute that will produce a growing faith. The seeking includes fellowship with one another. It breaks my heart when, even after 2 months, people are still, well, I think I like my couch better than coming alive, right? I like being able to roll out and just plop myself and watch it. We miss you. We miss being together. I need to be challenged. And just the blessing of hearing what God is doing in your life is a true blessing. And so in that aspect, do not neglect it. Number 5, realize that it is not your job to worry about tomorrow. It is not your job to worry about tomorrow. Look at verse 34. The Bible says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so in this last verse of this passage, Jesus is basically moving to conclude the sermon and saying, hey, tomorrow will have its own problems. My grace is sufficient today. Amen. Now, next to this verse, I wrote James 4, 14 and 15. If we can go there before we're doing good on time. If we can go there as we finish, it's just past the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And James, the brother of Jesus, gives us a challenge. And I truly sense that this is how we're having to communicate and how I'm finding myself communicating of the reality of life and the reality of the statement that honestly it is not well received sometimes because it doesn't sound like I know what I'm talking about, but yet it is God's word. And in verse 14, the Bible tells us that James is reminding us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So the reality is that now I do feel that we are realizing that life is but a vapor. Literally 2 months ago, we all had plans. Come March 14th, March 15th, the last Sunday we were together. We had an agenda full of things. When we sit down at staff meeting, we had so many things planned out, and all of those have been moved. I know that everybody had plans to go on vacation or go on mission trip. Somebody was supposed to leave today. Another team was supposed to leave next week. And all of that has been put on hold. The reality that life is a vapor, just like that, our lives change. Now, praise the Lord that we're starting to see the end of the tunnel. We're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But the reality is, this verse is so relevant to our situation. And yet, James is reminding the church of the same thing. Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know. We don't know what opportunities we have today to be a light for Christ. We don't know if we will have tomorrow. We must walk in obedience today. But he didn't leave it there. He goes on in verse 15 and says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And just to be transparent, this is what I'm finding myself saying. I am finding myself saying, by faith we are going to do this if the Lord wills. Because I don't know. I don't know what is going to be of tomorrow. I don't know what we can keep or cannot keep. But yet the fact is that life indeed is a vapor. And that I cannot control what's ahead. But if the Lord will, I will. We can do this or that. But to a conversation on a day-to-day, for me to say that to somebody who's not a believer, they look at me like, what in the world? I'm just looking for a yes or no. Well, I don't know if the Lord's will, right? But for the believer, it should find common reception because that is what the Lord instructs us to do. And so as we realize that it is not our job to worry about tomorrow, as we come back to verse 34 in Matthew 6, we have to understand that as we start to see and come back to this new normal, remember and realize that God, we are in the palm of God's hand. That when we take this medication for this anxiety that we may feel or not, the reality is that please remember that you must recognize where it starts. Recognize that the Lord does rebuke it. Recognize that God does truly care, even for the little things in our lives. And recognize that that we must receive it. And the way we receive that is through seeking first for his kingdom in salvation and for righteousness in being able to walk in obedience to his word. Realize that it is not your job to worry about tomorrow. God has that. God has that in his control. So as we begin to see these restrictions being lifted and we start to adjust to whatever this new normal is going to be, I guess the question that must be asked is, how will you handle that anxiety differently? How will you be able to move forward either by your own strength or by faith in him? Paul, in the book of Philippians, reminds us that we ought to be careful or anxious for nothing. And that word is so crucial in that verse, that we are just simply not to be anxious for anything, but bring it to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. And that is a promise that was not only to Paul, who was sitting at a Marriott hotel by the beach writing this letter. No, he was in prison, encouraging the local church that could not take for granted whether they could meet or not. It was precious to them. So the same is for us. But my question then would be, what anxiousness or uncertainty are you struggling with that is keeping you from serving the Lord wholeheartedly? What is God asking you to do, or what is he asking you to share for you not to live in fear, for you to be a light for him? Then what is the Holy Spirit asking you to simply let go and let God to guide you with? How can this be applied in your life so that you would experience that victory that he has for us? My prayer is that we would respond according to his perfect will and not what we have for our lives. I hope that that would be an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you so much for your promises. Father, I just give you praise and honor for the fact that we can trust it. Father, I give you praise for the fact that we don't have to walk around wondering what is to come, but that we know that our future is in your hands. Lord, I don't know where anyone here or watching online finds themselves to be in, but Father, I praise you that personally we can stand upon the promises that are found in your word. Father, my prayer is that you would find us faithful to seek after them, to know them, so that we would have confidence, not in ourselves, Lord, but in your word. Father, that we would not neglect the assembling together of ourselves, but Father, that we would look forward to gathering again and being an encouragement. Father, that it would be an example to our children, and Father, that it would be an example to other believers, to know that they have a church family that loves them, and that the only way for iron to sharpen iron is to be together. Lord, I thank you for the last few weeks that you have carried us through times like these. Father, I thank you that you were not caught by surprise. Father, I thank you that you've given opportunity to declare the hope of the gospel through it. But Father, tonight, as we open your word with believers, I pray that we would be encouraged and reminded of what you have shared. And Father, maybe we've grown up all of our lives listening to this passage, reading this passage, studying this passage, singing about this passage, but yet we haven't found a time to really apply it to our lives. And whether it's anxiety or whether it's this just wondering what's to come, Father, may we be settled upon the word of God because of your promises. Father, I thank you for the privilege you give us to be in ministry. I thank you for the privilege you give us to gather together. And Father, may we not neglect it or take it for granted. Lord, we love you. We certainly thank you for your son dying on the cross for us. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to close our service with number 713. That is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Lord bless you. Remember, we'll see you on Sunday at 8:30 or 10:30. Brother Ron.
Stand if you would.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you all.